turn in your Bibles with me, please, to the book of Ecclesiastes and the last chapter, Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, and we'll take our scripture reading from the first seven verses of this chapter. We have had a dry, dusty month of May, and my allergies are going crazy all of a sudden. I think that probably happens to a lot of us when we haven't had much rain and the pollen and the dust and everything's in the air. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, and I'll read the first seven verses of the chapter. Hear the word of God. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the moon, or the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow themselves and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of a bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and the desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the street. Wherever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel be broken at the cistern, then shall dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Let us bow for prayer as we begin this morning. Gracious Father, O Lord our God, as we approach the holy word of God, may you open our hearts and our minds to receive thy truth. And O Lord, open thy truth to our hearts and minds, we pray. And Father, we pray today that your word would be blessed and efficient and effective to the hearts of our young people, to the hearts of the youngest children, to the hearts of our middle-aged folks, and even to our senior citizens. Lord, may we take heed to the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. In our nation, up until the removal of prayer and Bible reading from the public school system, it was standard, it was expected, it was traditional, it was unavoidable that there would be a baccalaureate service. The baccalaureate services typically took place in either in the school itself, but more often in a church situated very near to the school. In the little village of Dublin where I grew up was Dublin High School. And across the road was a Methodist Episcopal Church. And for many, many, many years before the graduation, there would be a service in the church. And that service was a challenge to the graduates. Can you imagine today if a public school says, before we have a graduation, we're going to preach to these kids? Before we allow them to leave high school, we're going to confront them one more time with the Word of God. In our Christian schools, it still takes place. If you go online, don't recommend that, and check Wikipedia, don't recommend that, and look up baccalaureate, what you'll find is that it is an ecumenical service that may have some religious overtones, and may actually be called a baccalaureate mass, depending on the school. totally missing the point entirely. Mm-hmm. So this morning, this message is more of what you would have found in a baccalaureate message, 50 years ago. And yet, the baccalaureate message was never just for the graduates. It was for all assembled. And so, though this passage this morning says, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, it doesn't mean you forget him when you hit 21, or 30, or 40. But rather, the principles of this passage are applicable to us till the gray hairs come and the golden cord is broken in verse 7, and we go to heaven if we know him. And so, I like very basic who, what, where, when, why outlines, and that's what we're going to do with this passage this morning. First of all, what is the commandment that this passage gives to us? Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. It's not a suggestion. It's not a recommendation. It is a command to remember. What does this word remember mean? What does it mean to remember our Creator? Well, the first time we find this word remember in our Hebrew Old Testament is when Noah was still in the ark. And in Genesis 8:1 it says, and God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that were with him in the ark. Now let's take that statement, God remembered Noah, and sort of look under the hood and digest it a little bit to understand what it's saying. Had God forgotten that Noah existed? Obviously not. God had not, oh, I forgot Noah. No. When God remembered Noah, it indicates to us that God paid a special attention and watch care to Noah that the rest of the world did not receive. They were under water. But Noah and the cattle that were with him in the ark, the seven souls, they were spared. And God took special knowledge of Noah. The rest may go their way, but I will preserve this one. And then again, in Genesis 19 and verse 29, and it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, God remembered Abraham. And so just as in the account of Noah in the ark, where judgment was on all that were not in the ark, so judgment fell on Sodom and Gomorrah, but God remembered Abraham. And then again in Exodus chapter 2 and verse 24. And God heard their groanings. This is Israel in Egypt. And God heard their groanings. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. And so we see in these first three times that we find this word, the same word for remembered in Ecclesiastes, God was paying a very special attention to his elect. God was preserving them. God was showing fealty to them. God was giving them an exclusivity that was not given to any other. Now, I hope you're beginning to understand a little bit about this word. Because when it says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, it's not, I forgot to pray this morning. But rather, take a conscious interest in your God. May He fill your thoughts, not those that are drowning, but Noah. Not those that are being destroyed in Sodom, but Abraham. Not the Egyptians who would be judged, but the elect within. Let God be your focus. Give conscious understanding to Him. And so, consider what God says. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. This is important. Think on this. Remember it. remembering the Sabbath doesn't say mean, oh, it's Sunday. I better hit the record button so I don't miss the first part of the ball game if I go to church. But oh, rather God says to make his Sabbath your delight, to keep your foot from his Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Malachi 4 and verse 4, remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb. Remember the law which I commanded to Moses. Make the word of God the standard of living for your life. Here it is, folks. It's the handbook of life. The word of God. Remember the law. Jude 1 verse 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken to you before the prophets. Remember these things. And there's a whole multitude of uses of this word. Psalm 119:52, remember my judgments. Psalm 119:55, I remember thy name. Psalm 63 verses 5 and 6, my soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with the joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. And so if we understand what it means when it says that God remembered Abraham, it gives us an insight into what it means, remember your Creator. Focus your attention here to the exclusion of all others. And that brings us to the second part of remembering. Because to remember your Creator is to show fidelity to Him, to show exclusivity to Him. Turn with me to Exodus 23. I wasn't going to have you turn, but maybe it's good to see these verses. Exodus 23 and verse 13. I'll give you a moment to flip there. Exodus 23 and verse 13. I love to hear the sound of turning pages. Exodus 23 and verse 13. And in all the things that I have said unto you, be ye circumspect and make no mention of the names of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. Guess what, folks? That phrase, make no mention, is the same Hebrew word as remember. Remember your Creator and don't remember any other gods. Remember now your Creator. Make no mention of the names of other gods. It's the same word, folks. Remember Jehovah and don't remember any others. You see, there is a fidelity to Jehovah that is expressed in this phrase, remember thy Creator. And again in Joshua 23, verse 7, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the names of their God. And it's that same word, remember again. Israel, you're coming into a land. You were supposed to destroy all the inhabitants of Canaan. You have failed to destroy them all. There are going to be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your flesh, but don't mention the names of their God. Don't remember them. To remember your Creator is to have an exclusivity to Jehovah God and none others. Thou shalt have no other gods beside me. Number three. To remember Jehovah is to proclaim His glories. It's to proclaim the glories of the Lord. And here I go to Psalm 71, verse 16, and there we read these words. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. And again, there the positive I will make mention is remember. It's the same term that we find in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. And you see again the exclusivity. And then again in Isaiah 26 and verse 13. O Lord our God, other lords besides thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. And it's again that same word. By thee only. We'll remember the name of Jehovah. We'll make mention of the name of Jehovah to the exclusion of all others. One more. Jeremiah could not keep silence. In Jeremiah 20 and verse 9, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary of forbearing, and I could not stay. Folks, to remember the name of Jehovah is to talk about it. Mm-hmm. To remember the name of Jehovah is to mention it. It is to proclaim his glories among the heathen. Mm-hmm. And so to remember the name of Jehovah is to be constantly mindful of it. To remember the name of Jehovah is to maintain fidelity to it. To remember the name of Jehovah is to proclaim the glories of God. But then number four, to remember Jehovah, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, is to set up reminders. Is to set up in your life reminders of Jehovah constantly. How many of you this morning had an alarm clock set? Whether you woke up by the clock or not, how many had an alarm clock? I typically, when I set an alarm, will wake up 5 minutes before. You know, my body has just learned. It doesn't matter where I set the clock. My mind knows, okay, that's the time. And I wake up 5 minutes before. But I still set the clock. Because occasionally, I'll miss it and sleep in. We set something so we do not fail in our duties. To remember the Creator in the days of our youth is to set mile markers in our lives, to set reminders. In Numbers 15, verses 38 and following, we find these words. Speak unto the children of Israel and bid them that they make fringes upon the borders of their garment throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe a ribbon of blue. And it shall be to you a fringe, and ye shall look upon it and remember. There's our word. You'll look on this border of blue on your garments, and you'll remember all the commandments of the Lord God. Make a habit of tying spiritual fingers around your finger, spiritual ribbons around your fingers. Make a habit of setting spiritual alarm clocks. Set up in your life warnings. Set up in your life reminders. Start as a young person. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Set up these patterns of righteous living. Set up these fences against evil in the days of your youth. Because if you try to build the fences when you're old, it won't work. If you try to establish the habits and the routines down the road, it's too late. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. We read in Deuteronomy that thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy head and as frontlets between thine eyes. Next. To remember the Creator in the days of your youth is to call upon him. To call on him in times of joy, to call on him in times of trouble, to trust in him at all times. Psalm 20 and verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And it's that same word again. Some trust chariots. Some trust horses. Some trust an employer, or the stock market, or a retirement plan, or an education, or an investment, or a reputation, or a military, or a government. You can insert anything you want to. but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Mm-hmm. It's to trust Him in all things. It's to call upon Him. And when it says some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember, it means they're calling on His name. And that is very clearly given to us in the story of Jonah. For Jonah was in Whale University, and he was getting ready to graduate. And just like you may feel like your college education is about ready to vomit you out, so Jonah was about ready to be vomited out of Whale University. That's my dad's phrase. Dad always called it Whale University. Jonah 2 and verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And it's that word. And my prayer came unto thee, even to thy holy temple. Jonah was fainting. His soul was fainting within him. But he remembered God. He called upon God. And his prayer came into the holy temple. The last one under remember is to remember the Creator is to learn His lessons. It's to learn His lessons. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 8. We'll go ahead and look at this one together. Genesis, Exodus, number Deuteronomy. Fifth book of your Bible. Fifth book of your Bible, Deuteronomy and chapter 8. And verses 2 and 3. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 and 3. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandment or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but for every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thou shalt remember. Learn the lessons, people. Learn the lessons, young people. Learn the lessons. Remember what God has done. You know, there's an old phrase that you got to be tough to be dumb. You got to be tough to be dumb. You know, some people just keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again. And spiritually, we do the same thing. Even the Apostle Paul said, the good I would, I do not, and that which I would not, that I do. Learn the spiritual lessons. That is part and parcel of remembering the Creator. So very briefly, to review, remember, be constantly mindful of your God. Maintain fidelity to your God. Proclaim the glories of your God. Remind yourself of the works of your God. Call upon your God and learn the lessons to your God. That is the what. What is the commandment? Remember now thy Creator. The who. Remember now thy Creator. He's your Creator. He's your Maker. This is very basic, very fundamental. We all know it, and yet the world's forgotten it. And you will not find that proclaimed to high school graduates in our nation. They'll give them all kinds of other things. Excuse me. All kinds of other nonsense. But they won't talk about the who. That is the most important thing in their life. Yeah. Remember now thy Creator. You see, the Creator is our origin. That's where we come from, folks. You can't know where you're going until you know where you came from. The first thing that MapQuest asked is, what address do you want to begin your directions from? Your current location? Your home address? You see, you can't get directions until you know where you are. You can't figure out where you're going until you know where you've come from. Man didn't come from apes. He is our origin. But not only is he our origin, he's our owner. The Creator is the possessor. What? Know ye not that ye are not your own, elect child of God? Ye are bought with a price. He is the origin of his people. He is the Lord of his creature. Lord of his creation. He is the Lord of that which he has made. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker, let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of earth. Shall the clay say unto him that fashioned it, what makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hands. He is indeed the Lord of his creation. But he is also the recipient of his creation. He receives that which he made. In Isaiah 42 and verse 21, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. He created us to show forth his praise. He is the one who is due our praise. He's the recipient of his creation. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You realize you weren't created for your own pleasure? You were created for the pleasure of the created for the pleasure of the Creator. And he is the sustainer of the creation. We looked at this actually in the last few weeks, that all things are upheld by the word of his power. So that's the who. Remember is the what. Creator is the who. But then the when. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And we touched on this a little bit already. If you don't establish the godly patterns in your life when you're young, it is so much harder to make any headway later on. Folks, I have realized more and more the older I get that my ability to memorize Scripture is almost gone. That's sad, folks. Most of the Scripture that I can quote, I memorized before I was 15. I was blessed to grow up in a Christian home, and blessed to grow up in Sunday school classes and in children's meetings where they drilled Scripture knowledge into us. And blessed to have a youth group in high school that quizzed 2 times a year, Bible quizzing. And we would memorize whole chapters and whole books. And I know some of the young people in this congregation have been engaged in that exercise. Do it now. Do it now. Because it will never be any easier than it is today. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Over in the previous chapter, verse 9 of chapter 11, rejoice, O man in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee in the judgment. In other words, God is going to bring in the judgment what you've done with the days of your youth. You can't say, well, you know, I'm too young to serve the Lord. Or I'm going to serve the Lord when I get to 30. Or I'm going to serve the Lord. No, the Lord will bring you into judgment for what you're doing with the days of your youth, how you have applied your heart to wisdom. In the days when God has blessed your mind to be a sponge, to absorb truth. My father used to say, you know, I quote from my father all the time because he was not just my father, he was my pastor as well. But Dad used to say, you can't sow wild oats and then pray for a crop failure. Well, how true that is. Oh, I'm going to sow my wild roots, my wild oats. Well, what you reap is what you sow. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You cannot sow wild oats and then pray for a crop failure. And so the wind is now. Let no man despise thy youth. The why. Remember thy Creator. Remember him now. Why? Well, because we read there that there's evil days coming. Look again with me at verse 1 of chapter 12. Of Ecclesiastes. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And then going back to verse 9 of chapter 11, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. You know, young people tend to think it's always going to be like it is. Oh boy. I remember distinctly, very, very clearly, during my junior year of high school, I remember the day, I remember the place, I remember the time of day, I remember the people that were with me when I ran a mile in 5 minutes and 56 seconds. Ooh. That was quite a day. Made a lasting impression on my life. Folks, I couldn't run a mile in a half an hour. I can walk a mile in 20 minutes if I push it.
Knees will blow out in 5.
Yeah, exactly. I remember that day. Folks, these bodies are falling apart, and they're falling apart quick. There's evil days coming, and that's why you've got to use the best days you have. That is why the patterns established in youth are so important, because it's not always going to be like it is today. You're not going to be able to memorize in a few years like you can today. You're not going to be able to wear out your shoe leather in a few years like you can today. You're not going to have the strength and the stamina to go. I remember back when Penny and I were first married, there was a time when we were having 7 to 9 services every Sunday. Every Sunday. When you counted up 3 worship services, plus Sunday schools, plus youth meetings in the community centers around the area. And we had 2 little babies at the same time. I don't know how we did it. We were young. We were filled with vigor. It was the years that God gave us that energy to remember our Creator to the fullest. Don't sleep away the best years. Don't throw away the best years. There's evil days coming. But not only are there evil days coming, there's judgment coming. You read there in chapter 11, verse 9, God will bring thee into judgment. But know that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. In Matthew 25, verse 32, we find these words. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. You see the distinction there? God's going to divide it all out. He's going to divide his sheep from the goats. One side is divided out for blessing and reward. The other side's divided out for slaughter, for eternal damnation, for hell. And so there is judgment coming. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or be free. And so this passage goes on in lovely Hebrew poetry. Mm-hmm. And I love literature, and I've read Poe's The Fall of the House of Usher, and I think he got it from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, mm-hmm. where it describes the disintegration of a man in the simile of his house. And that is what Solomon so beautifully does here. Look at verse 2. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. What's that talking about? It's talking about springtime. It's talking about when the plants are growing up. The sun and this moon, the stars, they're shining. And the clouds are not coming after the rain. It's the springtime of your life. It's the time to grow spiritually. Verse 3, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease, for they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. What are the keepers? They're the hands. the hands, the time when the keepers begin to tremble, the hands don't have the strength they once had. The strong men are the legs, the grinders are the teeth, and they become few. And those that look out the windows, folks, when I take off my glasses, you're all a complete blur. And Penny used to marvel because I could read street signs a quarter mile away when I was a young man. And then verse 4. And the door shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and the daughters of music shall be brought low. The doors are shut. The voice becomes weak. When you begin to imitate an older person, you begin to try to open a weak voice. Well, that's what it's talking about. The door is shut. The voice becomes weak. The sound of the grinding is low. Did you ever listen to a teenager chomping on a carrot? A teenager can get more noise out of a carrot or potato chips. The sound of the grinding becomes, boy, there's just not the pleasure in food there used to be. It doesn't taste as good as it was. You don't chomp on it with the vigor. And, you know, steak, boy, you used to love it. Hey, more. Just too much to chew. The sound of the grinders. And rise up at the voice of the bird. Difficulty sleeping. A bird outside the window keeps you awake. A creak in the floor. The house settling. What was that? Where's the gun? Yeah. This time of year, I love to sleep with the windows open, but I can't do it because the noise of traffic keeps me awake all night long. I used to be able to sleep through a thunderstorm. And the daughters of music be brought low. The joy is gone. The things that used to be such pleasures, they don't carry the pleasure. Oh, you still enjoy them. But the hobby that you had so many trinkets for, they just kind of sit growing dust anymore. The days have rolled by. Verse 5. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and the desires shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets, afraid of that which is high. Older people just tend to be more concerned about things, more fearful. You'll think back to things you did in your 20s and 30s and say, how have I even did that? You mean I climbed that tower? I worked up there that high off the ground? I did that? Boy, my grandkids try to do that. I'm like, stop! Don't do that! They don't know yet. To them, it's fine. Oh, how the fears come. And the almond tree. You know what's significant about the almond tree? Its blossoms are grayish white. Grayish white. The almond tree. It's talking about gray hair. That's what Solomon's talking about there. The almond tree flourish. The hair, my beard used to be red. But the hair changes as we age. The grasshopper shall be a burden. Ever hear a cricket in the middle of the night? I saw a thing the other day. It's this little USB thing you can plug into somebody's computer. And it chirps like a cricket about every 2 or 3 minutes. Drive people nuts. Boy, how little things start to bother us that didn't bother us before. And the desire shall fail, all the hopes and dreams, midlife crisis. You get to a point in your life when you say, I had so much to accomplish, and I've accomplished so little. And you realize, it's past. It's done. I'll never get it back. And death awaits. The mourners go about the street. Or even the silver cord be loosed and the golden bowl be broken and the pitcher be broken at the fountain, and the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall dust return unto the earth, to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. And therefore, remember, O young man, thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Let us stand for prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the passage you read in our responsive reading, that even now in old age may I declare thy truth to this generation. Father, we thank you that indeed you've only given us one life and you've given it to us to live for thee. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being servants of the Most High God. We thank you, Lord, for the instruction of Scripture, that the elders are to teach the youngers, both the men and the women, to teach the next generation, to raise up a godly seed that will stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Father, your truth is eternal. This world is perishing. Your name is forever settled in heaven. Your word is forever settled in heaven. But all around us is decay. And Father, without Jesus Christ, we are doomed to a death of eternity. But we rejoice in life in Christ. Oh, Father, may we indeed remember our Creator. In Jesus' name, amen.